So take your Bible and go to John chapter 8. In your booklet, we're on page 11. And I believe leaders, you're on page 22. Sorry. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 is where our theme verse comes from. It's the first set of memory verses too, but we're going to start reading from a little bit earlier than that. John chapter 8, we're going to read from verse 28. Christ is speaking here to a crowd in the temple area. John chapter 8 and verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Christ is speaking in the temple area to a crowd. They had just brought a woman to him that had been caught in adultery, and they just brought her to him just prior to this, and he's rebutted their self-righteousness and said to them, "He that is without sin, he can cast the first stone at this woman." And they've all left shamefaced, knowing that they'd only brought her to him for their own self-righteousness' sake. So they've left. He spoke to the woman briefly, and she appears to have left. But then he's speaking to another group that obviously must have been there, but weren't amongst those that had brought this woman to him. That's the context. And immediately following this, and he says these two verses, verse 28 and 29, to them. Verse 30 tells us that many of these ones that were there believed on him. They'd seen what he'd done already. They'd heard what he was saying. And verse 30 says significantly that they believed on him. And so verse 31 and 32 are theme verse. Christ is speaking to Jews that have just chosen to believe on Christ. So we could say they were Jews. They're now believers in Christ. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll look at that thought. Father, we love you and we thank you for the privilege of being here together this week. Father, please bless as we spend time in your word. Now, later tonight, and throughout the rest of the week. Lord, speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would do so even from this very first message, that you would speak to our hearts. Challenge us, Lord. Father, I pray that you would be honored, that you would be glorified in each of our lives. Lord, help us to hear the lessons that you would have us to hear and respond in the way that you would have us to respond. Father, I pray that you would be pleased with how we choose to respond. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So Christ said first, the first point here is that Christ said he will make you free. He says that there in verse 31 and into 32. Christ says that he will make you free. The phrase make you free is actually only one word in the Greek. It means to liberate. That phrase make you free is liberate. It's where we get the word and the concept of being freeborn. Freeborn. Because in this day, the Bible times, many were born into slavery. And even still in our day, freedom in this world from slavery, from occupation, from invading armies, from hardship, in our part of the world isn't thought on much. But there are still parts of the world right now where people are born into slavery. People are born into occupied territories. They're not born free. So freedom is a concept to you and I that is a little bit unfamiliar. So when Christ says he will liberate you, when Christ says he will make you free, what quite does he mean? Because we are free. What a privilege to be living in this country. We are free. But then Christ says he can make you free, which means you weren't. If Christ says he can make you free, that means you weren't free until he started to make you free, correct? Generally, freedom, as we think about freedom, it's an odd thing. Freedom comes in odd ways and is gained through odd ways. If you think about freedom from the point of view of maybe an invading army, and all they do really is cross a line somewhere on a piece of paper that doesn't exist in real life, and they come across and they put their flag up instead of yours, and they've invaded your country. And you're no longer free to do what you want to do. But freedom, that's the opposite of freedom, right? Freedom, from the point of view of an invading army, is them being kicked out again. But what about a prisoner? A prisoner who's been bound up in chains. The calendar clicks over and they're no longer a prisoner. They're allowed to walk out the door. The same guys that kept them locked up and brought them their meals and otherwise told them to stay in your room and be good boys and girls, the same people that yesterday had them bound and maybe not chained anymore, they're playing Xbox and other nonsense, but the same ones that had them in prison yesterday are the same ones that opened the door for them today. Why? Because the calendar clicked over. Freedom, do you see what I mean? Freedom's a strange thing. It suddenly arrives from strange things. Today our city is invaded, but tomorrow the liberation comes. And they walk back across an imaginary line that doesn't exist in real life, but it's there on a piece of paper. And suddenly we're liberated from this invading army. Suddenly we're liberated from our chains. Or not, as the case. Oh yeah, we are. We're suddenly liberated from our chains. What about if this is our passport? We don't have freedom to do whatever we want in some countries. And so people cross that imaginary border not as an invading army, but in order to get another country's passport. And the reason that liberation and freedom is such a strange thing in our country is because if you hold a passport like this or live in this country, it's just so obvious that we have freedom. But for freedom for these people is they're applying and pleading and asking for acceptance into some other country from where they came from, and suddenly it's granted. And suddenly they have freedom. Or we think that money will get us out of any sort of trouble. And then I can just splash money and that's buying me freedom. Money will buy me this and money will buy me that. And suddenly we're free if we just pay the person enough money. But do you know the strange thing? Freedom comes through odd ways, and freedom comes suddenly, but freedom is not easily maintained. It can come just like that. The calendar clicks over and the prisoner walks out. And now they have freedom. But if he keeps offending, the only reason you and I are not in prison is we're not criminals. And the only reason he's liberated is that his sentence is passed. But all of us maintain our freedom from, in this case, jail, by obeying the laws. That's not easy for some people. Or payment. And we buy freedom. But suddenly the guy that we paid for our freedom wants more money to keep his mouth shut. Oh, remember that large amount of money you gave me? Oh, it'd be inconvenient if I mentioned that to... You got any more of that money? And now we're paying hush money. And so that freedom is not easily maintained. Or we have gained a different passport, but then we don't behave in the particular way. And there's deportation. Freedom is suddenly got and easily lost at times. And it takes more effort to maintain freedom than to get it originally. In our passage, verse 32 mentions that Christ will make us free. Verse 36 also mentions that Christ will make us free. Because on the cross of Christ, there is freedom from sin. Not freedom from prison, not freedom from an oppressor, but freedom from sin. Now, verse 36 is talking about that because of, we know that from because of who he's talking to. But we know that verse 32 is talking about people that have already believed in him. So he's talking to some that have already placed their faith in Christ. In that case, as Messiah. But Christian, you've already placed your faith in Christ for salvation from sin already. You already have been made free from sin, as verse 36 is referring to. But Christian, there is a life of freedom beyond just freedom from sin. And that's what Christ is talking about in verse 31 and verse 32. And he says, I can make you free. But that freedom is a fuller, richer, more personal walk with Christ. That's the freedom that he's talking about. But that freedom takes some effort to maintain. It's walking with God daily and growing as a Christian. That takes effort. It takes a determination that today I'm going to spend time in my Bible. Today I'm going to pray. Today it's a day that my church meets to worship. I'm going to be there. That takes some effort. Many of you live in homes where if you don't do that, your parents check up on you. What's going on? What do you mean you don't want to come to church? So for you, it has taken no effort to read your Bible and to have prayer and to be in church. But are you doing it because it's expected of you, or have you been made free? Are you doing it because you want that walk with God? Many of you don't live in such a home, and it's not expected of you. It will take effort for you to maintain your walk with God. Let's look at what he said there in verse 31. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You might have placed your faith in Christ for salvation, but that does not mean that you're free. You don't know the truth. You're not a disciple yet. When I was your age, I didn't know anything about the Bible. I could have found Psalms, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because I wasn't a Christian. But through walking with God each day, that's what's changed me to be who I am today. It takes effort to know what's in here. But God's not asking you to put that effort all in today. And tomorrow there's an exam. And if you fail that, well, that's what hell's for. No. He's just asking you to walk with God today. If you walk with God tomorrow, consistency is what God's seeking. Christ said he'd make you free. And secondly, Christ said there in verse 31, continue. Continue in my word. We often think of continue as a movement type thing. It's an action to keep doing something. We continue to come to camp year after year. But it's actually not the act of coming. Continue is to stay in place. Continue to stay in place in my word, in as it's used here. And it includes the idea of endurance. To stay in place, even when it's difficult, even when it's hard. To keep doing what's right, to endure, to continue to do what's right, because this is where I ought to be. That's what Christ is talking about. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and not before. Christ has made us free from the penalty and the consequence of sin in our lives. But if we continue in His word, He will make us free. Free to walk with Him, free to honor Him, free to be His disciple. It's continuing that makes you a disciple, not salvation. Being a disciple is like being a learner, being somebody that wants to learn. But we get this idea of learning as just, oh, it's that person on YouTube that I watch and I learn how they do that. Or it's that teacher that they just understand how I think, and they teach in a way that is easy to learn or not. Or we go to a book or a website on how to do this or that. We think of learning as that, but this is being a disciple. Being a disciple is not just learning. It's continuing to learn from that person. This book is not a one-read book. This book is a daily read book for the rest of your life. If you want to be a disciple, if you want to be made free. Oh, we're free from sin. But are we free? Is my Christian walk, is it actually, I'm free from sin, but I'm no longer free because I'm not walking with God anymore. And chains that I was liberated from are back on me. Though Christ has liberated me, I'm getting back in my cuffs and back in my ball and chain, and I'm back in occupied territory. A disciple continues to learn and continues to go back to learn. Some of you don't have ideal home stories. That's where you are, though. You can walk with God. Maybe that's where the endurance is for you. Continuing to do what's right, even in a difficult situation. If you continue, if you endure in God's word, He'll make you what you ought to be. Some of you live in places where it's easy to look like a Christian. But it's just show. If you continue in the truth of God's word, though, you'll become a disciple. And you'll be free, free from self-righteousness and self-congratulation that I'm a good kid. You're probably a good kid because it's easy to be a good kid in a good home. Walk with God. Be right inside. Change from the inside, not because it's easy to be good on the outside where you live. That's not endurance. You haven't been tested yet. And in fact, if that's you, self-righteousness and self-congratulation, that's sin. Some of you are hiding behind your family's Christianity, and you're not. You're not a Christian yet. This week, why not change that this week? We want to work on freedom this week. We want to work on continuing in God's word this week and leaving here knowing how we can walk with God better this week. Because that's freedom. That's liberty. Christ will make you free, which means you're not. You're not free. Until you're willing to continue in His truth and walk with Him daily. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's take a moment to respond to God's word. You can turn to the decisions I made page at the back if you need to, but otherwise, if you're writing down, that's fine. Otherwise, heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe you need to walk with God. Maybe you say, pray for me. I haven't been walking with God. People think I'm a great Christian, but I'm not walking with God as I ought to. Pray that this week that would change. Anyone, you can slip up your hand. I'll be praying for you this week. Pray for me that I'd be walking with God. Thank you. Anyone else? Great. Thank you for your honesty. No one looking around. Maybe it's your prayer time. Pray for me. My prayer time is not what it ought to be. Pray for me. I know already that's one of the things God wants me to learn about this week, that I would walk with God in my prayer time. Maybe it's your time in God's Word. Pray for me. My Bible reading would be what it ought to be, that I wouldn't just be going through the motions, but that I'd actually be reading and listening to God. Pray for me that I would walk with God this week. Thank you. Maybe you're just a mirror, a copy of what others are, but you know that inside you're not the Christian that you ought to be. Pray for me that I would make some changes this week, that I'd leave here a different person. Anyone at all? Yeah, thank you. Anyone else? Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for the freedom that is ours in Christ through the cross, that can be freedom from sin. It's available to all of us. And yet, Lord, we acknowledge that we don't live beyond that freedom and have the freedom to be the Christian that you'd have us to be through choices that we make and through unwillingness to endure. And Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts now from the word that we've heard already. And Lord, in the coming days, Lord, speak to our hearts. Challenge us, Lord, we pray. We're thankful, Lord, for the decisions that are already being made. Father, I pray that you would take your word and apply it to our hearts. For these that have acknowledged, Lord, the fact that they're not the Christian they ought to be or others think they are, others have acknowledged that their walk with you isn't what it ought to be and their prayer time, Bible reading, isn't what it should be. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts this week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you. It's lunchtime now.